This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. Mass for All the Faithful Departed by Father William Doc Holliday.
Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable inside, O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Generally do the masses for the souls in purgatory on Fridays, generally, specifically, the second Friday. But liturgically, the Fridays of this month are superseded. I decided to do one on today, which is a day which is not superseded, and I was hoping that more people could be involved in praying for the souls in purgatory. This is our duty as a church. Is our absolute responsibility. We need to embrace this responsibility, and it is an unfortunate thing in our day and age that it is not fulfilled in many places to offer masses specifically for the souls in purgatory. For those of you who come on Fridays, you know that as we speak of purgatory, if it is even spoken about in our day, it's spoken about in this... Well, it's not really a place. It's a state. It is a place, not a locale as we know in here. It is a state of the soul, and that state of the soul is nothing less really than a mitigated hell. It is a horrible place of torment. We should try to be doing everything in our power in this world to avoid. Not just hell, of course, but purgatory. Hell shouldn't even be on our radar screen. Shouldn't even be thought about. Purgatory is another thing. But even that, we have to approach it and have to consider all the negatives that are involved in this place that's called purgatory. We have considered, speaking about this at length, the rigors of God's justice, how specific he is. Everybody looks at our Lord Jesus as a cosmic pushover, and we have to understand that we are living in the times of grace. We are living in the times when the judgment has been placed in abeyance in order that we can do everything that possible to avoid the justice of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has come as the Savior, and he is coming as the judge. When he comes back, grace ceases. When he comes back, it's nothing but justice. Pure, 100% unadulterated justice. And if you meditate upon these things, the particularity of God, I mean, this is the Lord Jesus Christ who said, you have to avoid things because you don't want to be cast into this place where you will not escape until you pay the last farthing. That is purgatory, because a place where you could escape is not hell, because if you go to hell, you're not going to get out. So this place of horror where you don't leave until you pay the last farthing, meaning the expiation for the sins that got you there in the first place, these thoughts can terrify, should terrify you, absolutely terrify you. It's actually, if you have any faith whatsoever in what our Lord Jesus Christ says, it's impossible not to think of them and fear exceedingly about this place called purgatory. One commentator said this about purgatory, and this is what the church has always taught, not the new, oh, it's just a place where you learn things. Yeah, you learn things. You learn how much of a sinner you were and how much God hates sin. That's what you learn in purgatory. The commentator says, purgatory, compared to which all the penances of the saints and all the sufferings of the martyrs put together are as nothing. That kind of thought is overwhelming. Our Lord wants us to fear this. Our Lord emphasizes the necessity of fearing this. The scriptures from cover to cover, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but not the fear that is an abject terror. It is a fear that makes us hope, because the worldling, they don't fear. They have no clue. We who have opened our eyes to the Holy Spirit's leading to the fear of the Lord, that leads us into hope. When we're terrified about thinking about purgatory, the instantaneous thought of, oh, please God, no. All right. That's the foundation right there. He wants us to fear. He wants us to fear hell. He wants us to fear purgatory. He wants us to fear his divine justice. But again, he says of his own lips, fear not them that can kill the body, fear them, the one who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the intention to just strike you with abject terror. This is not our Lord's intention at all. It is to appreciate his mercy. It is an appreciation to embrace the graces that he has shown us in this world. That is what he desires. This fear is supposed to be tempered by great trust and appreciation for all the things that God has given us to help us prevent this. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. I sit in the confessional. I go to confession. I'll tell him myself. I go to confession. Oh, I got to remember this. I got to remember that. That shouldn't be too hard to remember, because I said it last time, and I said it the time before that, and I said it the time before that. God must really be mad at you. Nope. I'm going to hear words that tell me he's not. I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is what this is all about. I'm terrified of the possibility of going to purgatory. I'm beelining to the confessional. I'm going to say the same things that I've had to say time and time and time and time again. Darn it, it's the same Father there. He heard the same stuff the last time. This is the reality of appreciating God's grace. He knows that we are repetitive sinners. That's why he's given us sacraments that can be repeated, particularly the Eucharist and the confessional. You know, I always tell you, we just got done with the Eucharist study. If you could receive the Eucharist one time in your life, just once, it should be overwhelming. I've taken God into myself. That means there could be no possibly, because God has given me the grace to receive his divine being into myself. And you walk out the parking lot, and somebody cuts you off, you know, and say, this is us. He knows our frame. He knows we do things over and over again, and he provides for us over and over again. This is why you can receive the Eucharist. It's not, we don't have the opportunity to receive the Eucharist every time we come to Mass. We're required. Okay, unless you are in mortal sin or in somewhat not disposed to receive communion, you must. That's one of our responsibilities. One of our duties to the Eucharist is to receive it, because it cost him that. It is a responsibility to receive the Eucharist. And this is why the church makes us receive it every Sunday and every holy day of obligation, and emphasize with you, and you should receive it a whole lot more. Why? Because we need it. We need it a whole lot. Because we sin a whole lot. He knows this. This is why the whole repeated sacraments thing. You know, there are sacraments we don't repeat. You don't repeat baptism. You don't repeat confirmation. We don't repeat those things. You repeat these that are anchor points for us in his grace and mercy. He pours more grace into us in order that we can overcome these sins. Doesn't seem like I'm overcoming them. Well, you don't want to watch the tree grow. It's not going anywhere. Yeah, it is. yeah, there are things are growing, and you know, there's a serious problem that they're not. And are there some people that take for granted the sacraments? They become just ritualistic, rote actions for them? Yeah, that's a sin in of itself. We need to understand that this terror that we have of purgatory, it should manifest itself in a life where we fear evil, and because of that fear of evil, we are stimulated toward zeal for service to Christ. This is what this is all about. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because if you fear going to hell, if you fear going to purgatory, you will do everything possible to avoid it. This is why it is so important to hear about it and hear about it in its reality. Hear about it the way the church has always presented it, as opposed to here, oh, let's lighten this thing up on purgatory. In most places, how do we lighten it up? We just don't ever talk about it. I have actually heard the church used to believe in purgatory. It's a dogma. It's dogmatic. It's like the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You've got to believe it. And if you don't, I'm really questioning that fear of the Lord thing. You know, we don't want to mitigate, we don't want to cut out the fear of the Lord. Every time that it comes up in Scripture explaining away why it doesn't really mean fear. The thought of purgatory should terrorize you. Absolutely terrorize you. And make you do things to avoid it. We should do penance for all of our past sins. I did my penance after a confession. That's what the church gives you for that confession. I thought I think about some of the doozies of the past that do penance, and I think I haven't done enough penance for that one, much less the hundreds and thousands of other ones. We should do penance for these things without any anxiety. We should do penance for these things, not, oh, God's going to hold it against me. He's already told you he didn't in the absolution. He's not holding it against you anymore when it comes to whether you're just or unjust in his eyes, but you are fixing the damage done by expiation. And we should expiate these sins again without anxiety, because if we do, we are questioning his mercy. Do not question the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. He endured that up to that for us, not to mention the whole incarnation, leaving heaven, coming down here, and all that stuff. But it culminated in the cross. It culminated in that. How on earth anyone could say, I'm terrified that it wasn't good enough for me to get out of purgatory? Because that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. Even if you approach the thought of purgatory with it in the back of your mind, well, I just might have to spend, you know, years and years in purgatory because of this. And by saying that, you are embracing a works-based mentality. You're negating the mercies of Christ. If I spend time in purgatory, that will get me into heaven. No, it's the mercies of Christ to get you into heaven. Purgatory just squares you away to get there. I don't mean eventually get there. I mean when you get there. Because nothing with any sin it can be in heaven. Do not question his mercy ever. We need to have a great love for God because of all that he's done with. Sent his only begotten Son that all who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We need to, because we believe that, and understand his mercies in all their forms, the incarnation, the sacraments, opportunities over and over and over again. The longer he gives you in this world is another moment of mercy to have you square things away. This is a reality of things, because when we understand this and we understand the great charity that he has shown us, we should have little fear of purgatory. We should have little fear of purgatory. Not that it's not horrible if I have to go there, but even if you go there and you have to endure that stuff, you know you're going to heaven. You know you're going to heaven because of his mercy. And you also, like the readings today, you know, the first one, Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Sin is what gets us into purgatory. Does that mean Paul goes on to say, hey, we should sin more and more so grace can abound more and more? No. We don't want the grace of, if I land in purgatory, when I land in purgatory, maybe I'll get sprung, but you will eventually. So, we look at his mercies in the gospel. Come to me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is not a time in your existence that you will be more heavy laden than in purgatory. But he says, come to me, all you that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Even then, he is going to shine his mercy upon us. Even then, he's going to smile on us. This is the way we need to approach this whole thing. Fear absolutely of the terrors that await if we don't embrace his mercy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.